Okay, welcome to the January 8th Happy New Year use case realization call. Today we are, because this is the first meeting of the new year, I specifically didn't schedule in a major topic. So I'll be going over a few things though. This is the last meeting before the M2 deadline, so which is on January 21. So we'll be talking about that. Also be going over a few of the topics that are coming up that I have scheduled, so and that I know the upcoming talks. And then we'll just go over a few of the major topics that we have in the agenda list. So M2, there's actually a page I've created for the 5G use cases that we talked about, and maybe we'll start there. So last time we were actually talking about M2 in the 5G call. we talked about documentation, contacting Sophia Wallen, which I've done, to ask her if she could give a talk on that. She's actually going to be talking at next week's DDF on documentation. But it would be nice if she had a dedicated sort of walkthrough of how all that works. At M2, there's also basically a major milestone for functionality freeze. No new visible functionality added to the current release. Each use case project teams define and documented their functional test cases. The vendor equipment's delivered, a stable document describing the API is done and base set of impacts. And then leading into M3, an API and data model freeze, and the end of the API data model changes. And any changes to the API must be brought to the knowledge of TSC for review and approval, and 50% of the test cases are automated. So that's coming up, and there are links here to the release planning and milestone status pages. So these are the status of the overall release. And if you look at the release planning pages, there's a little chart of it shows you the actual major deadlines. So we see M2, M3 hits on January 21, and then M4, which is code freeze and everything on March 5, and then RCs, and then sign off on May 7th. Okay. So some of the upcoming meetings. So today is just a general discussion and catch up into the new year. At some point leading into R7, I'm guessing actually this is probably going to be, if I were to order some of these, I'd say this one probably isn't relevant until this discussion of the use case template, the new use case template probably isn't relevant until, more like April or May. So it's way down here somewhere. Oh, geez, what did I do? Okay, let me just see if I can cut this down here. It'll be important, but it's not super important just yet. So I'm going to see if I can get David McBride to give a presentation here. This is kind of relevant, so probably maybe in January or February. Okay, I just gave a talk on the 5G service modeling use case, which is here. Right before this call, I gave an hour-long presentation on this use case, and with the modeling team, so that was pretty well attended. So I'll probably give an overview of that at some point, either in January or February. So there's some action items I have from that meeting. So I'm gonna maybe make a little bit of progress before I hold another presentation for that. But there is a recording that from today's call that will be available off of this use case page. So this use case is basically the 5G RAN service use case is about basically modeling a 5G service and what it would takes to model a 5G service. So I described in that presentation, I described what a 5G is, what a 5G RAN network is, a 5G service, and started talking about the 3GPP TS28.541 standard, which is the 5G network resource model, the NRM, which is used in 5G. And again, I'll talk about more about that in depth when I give my presentation again. But there will be a recording if you want some early sneak peek into it. There, I had an hour long presentation on that if you're interested, and it will be in this space here. In this recordings and meetings when Andy loads it up. Andy was hosting it, so I had a meeting with the modeling team to discuss how we might incorporate those things from the standards into the ONAP information model so that we can pave the way and prepare for an actual 5G RAN introduction when we plug in live 5G DUs into the system, PNFs into the system. Okay, and then so David McBride had an interesting views on planning. He's the new release manager, and he wants to move towards this Jira dashboard thing, which I think is a good idea. I asked him, hey, can you give a talk at some point? And he said, sure. So I'm going to be scheduling that again, maybe in January or possibly February. Last year in December, I also contacted Yuri, who's the PTL of CCSDK, and I asked him if he could give a presentation on CCSDK and end-to-end management, and he was happy to do so. So I've also been working on, so there'll be probably a series of presentations on the way of working process, and I'll just give you a quick sneak peek now. So I have been working with the modeling team on the modeling process and their way of working. So I started a wiki page and expanded their wiki page on the things that the modeling team does during these different drops, right? So at M0, what does the modeling team do? It plans and then how are the use cases involved? What are the use case teams doing in architecture and so forth? And then the M1, at M1, what's the modeling team doing? What are the use cases? How are the use cases involved and so forth? So this is it's still a work in progress. We're making a lot of progress, I feel. We're not quite done yet. So you see, we're just starting to talk about M3 now. So this is the point where M3 has an API freeze, and the modeling team has got to a point where they've been working closely with the use case teams to generate a data model, and that leads into an API. So once we define, and I work more with the modeling team to define this stuff, then I think we're probably ready to socialize this to other teams. So I've already seated in the architecture subcommittee. I was on the call yesterday, and I told them that I've been working on this, and that there's a new PTL for architecture Chakar is the new PTL, and he said great. And I've actually had a set of slides for the architecture way of working as well, and I added things there for them to look at. And I think looking at, for example, the licensing management use case, it's certainly without a sort of overall process that people can agree to. I see sort of people going in lots of different directions. And so here we're trying to coordinate people a little bit better. See, people have joined. I should. Okay. Okay. So for people who just joined, let me try to give a 2-minute quick recap of what we've been talking about. So we briefly talked about M2. This is the last meeting before actual M2. As it happens, M2 is going to happen before our next meeting. So I was pointing at the charts and the milestones and what's in M2 and what we need to do next and what's in it, and starting to think about for the use cases, the read the docs stuff. And I've contacted Sophia Wallen to maybe she can talk here too. That might be useful. So because the read the docs stuff is not nearly as easy as just hitting an edit button on a wiki page, which maybe it should be, but it's a long involved process, and it might be useful for people to have a little bit more familiarity with how the documentation project works and how to you know add stuff to it. I was talking about some of the upcoming possible meetings we could have. Meeting with David McBride, who I've reached out to, and he's the new release manager, and I think it would be good for him to describe this new Jira dashboard vision he has and things. Andy Mayer and Scott Blanford have been working on a use case template, which I think we're looking to adopt in Guilin in R7. And this use case template, I think, is a good one. It describes more traditional things you might want to see in a description of a use case, like its title, actors, description, points of contact, preconditions, flows, and postconditions. Things we don't see in our use case descriptions now, which is a little surprising, maybe. But anyway, so this was a template which was in just under proposal and was being reviewed, and Vimal has also said that this would be good to adopt. Not super crucial right now, but certainly before R7, we probably want to get everybody on the same page about this. I suspect probably around March-ish, we'll start talking about new use cases in Guilin. And so that would probably be a good time to introduce this. Okay, let's see. So I was just talking about this way of working. So that was the next time. I mentioned the CCSDK and then automation. I've invited Yuri to talk here, and he's agreed. So he'll be at some point talking as well. I also have got an agreement from the network slicing team that they'll give a presentation at some point as well, probably in early February, they said. Okay. So they're currently working on a new proposal and updates to their refinements to their proposal. I'll get back to that in a second. So this way of working process. So I have gone to, where is it now? Yeah, here it is. Okay. So this is this way of working process I was just going over. I'll have a talk on this at some point as well. And I had just give a really quick couple minute overview on that. Basically, the idea is to define a more well-defined process for the modeling team. what they go through in their model as they hit these different major milestones, what's happening is they're defining an information model, which feeds into a data model for the use by the use case teams used as a data model. And so the modeling subcommittee basically takes these requirements, feeds it into an input model, creates a information model for the release. It gets approved, and then that feeds into a data model. But we'll go into more of that. I'm just giving you a teaser here. So basically, what I've been doing with the modeling team is I've been working closely with them to define more, you know, having a back and forth discussion and more refined what should happen at each of these steps, right? So what is the modeling team doing? For example, at M1, they're looking at the requirements, it's impacted projects and proposals and how we can reuse models and who owns stuff and so forth. And then at M1, what should happen between them and the use case teams? What things should be socialized and how does it feed into the data model? And what sorts of information would be useful to the modeling team to help out the use case teams understand their use cases and how that information is used? So that's just one sort of crossover point. And I've also presented this at the architecture. There's actually, I don't know if I put the slide down here or not. Think so, but I developed a. Oh yeah, okay. So this is also for my slide pack. I created a crossover reference point which shows you the major milestones of what happens in before M0. You're coming up with proposals, right? And M1, you're planning your stories and epics and stuff. And then at M2, you're underway with design and software development. At M3, you've froze your APIs, and then finally you're going into test and integration. And then what's happening at each of these different steps from the use case teams, from the modeling teams, and the architecture teams, and then how they should sync up with each other, right? So there's certain points where you wanna sync up, and right now I think it's kind of done in off meetings, one-off meetings, and kind of haphazardly, and it's not part of any process. It just somebody says, "Hey, we should, you know, there was a change over here, and we should mention that to that team over there." It's pretty haphazard right now. But use case teams also, they definitely go through a very defined series of steps from proposals to definition to design to deliverables and testing. And the modeling team does as well, you know, creating the release information model and getting it reviewed. And I presented this also at the architecture team and before when it was under Stephen Terrell. But Chakra also agrees that this is a good activity to do. They go through their functional architecture definition, the component architecture definition. And at some point, these things should also, you know, overlap and there should be sync points. And that's what this is about. These architecture and use case sync points are about. Okay, so anyway, we'll have a more detailed thing going over that in much greater detail at some point. Now, I'd like to get the modeling piece done first, and that's not a fast process. I've been working on this page for months and months with the modeling team. This has probably taken 4 months, 3-4 months at least. So I suspect getting through this stuff, because, you know, I only get a few minutes, maybe 15, 20 minutes, sometimes a little bit more, but generally 15, 20-ish minutes at a pop each week from the modeling team meeting, right? So you can imagine it takes, you know, many months to go over that. But it's also not super high priority. You know, it would be really nice to have a agreed upon process by that the use case teams and the architecture teams and the modeling teams can abide to. I think that I might create a similar page for the use case teams. This is very modeling, obviously it's very focused on the modeling subcommittee, but maybe I'll create something for the architecture and the use case teams as well. But anyway, I'd like to get through this first, and that this might take some number of months. So we probably won't see, I probably won't present here for until probably April, May-ish, I'm guessing. Okay. I don't know when people join, but I also mentioned that for the 5G service modeling definition use case, I gave a presentation just before this call, and you can listen to that. It's talking about the analysis I did of, I still have the documents up, in fact, of 3GPP TS28.540, the 5G network resource model. So that document describes a whole bunch of objects and a whole page 52. Page 52. Yeah. Okay, 87. Okay, so that describes a whole bunch of objects and object models and stuff. And what I did was, I did, just to give you again a teaser, I did an analysis of, I contacted the rapporteur of that document, Jingping, and I asked, you know, do you have something that's not so, that's not like a document for analysis purposes, a spreadsheet may be more useful. She said one didn't exist. I searched on the internet. I couldn't find one, so I put one together. So it took me some couple of months to put, I went through the whole document and yanked out all the objects and its associated parameters for that object, its description, and then all of the parameters in that related to all of those objects throughout the document. I then presented to the modeling team. And they suggested, hey, why don't you categorize these things into something like ANEI or runtime config DB? And I'm being a little conservative here when I put ANEI, because many of these things may already be in ANEI. These are things that I feel aren't necessarily going in ANEI, but they're things that might go in ANEI. But I erred on the side of caution. So I said, if, you know, there are things like, there are already lots of addresses in ANEI. IDs tend to be things that go into ANEI, so I put those and names and stuff. That doesn't mean they'll definitely go into ANEI, but they're possibilities. And the rest of the stuff is mostly, most of it is, of course, runtime information, which doesn't belong in ANEI, but rather some database. So this runtime config data persistency project that I've been working on with many people, is probably a more proper place to store those parameters. Okay. At some point, Jimmy, who's on the call actually, you probably want to talk about, you know, are these concepts already covered? Do they belong in ANEI? I suspect once I have that conversation, most of these won't be in ANEI, which is fine. But in any case, we should probably talk about those. I will note that things like local address and remote address, again, these I teased out of the document all of the places where a particular parameter is uniquely mentioned. And those addresses in particular are used again and again in these endpoints, right? These EPN2, for example, which describes EPN2 is the designation for an endpoint between the RAN and the AMF, right? So that's a core box, core function. And, you know, there's an address associated with that, basically. So the user plane function has, you know, an address associated with that to the 5G node B, for example. So even though we see address mentioned once, it's kind of used in lots of different objects. But I feel for that, ONAP already has a good handle on, you know, modeling. Because these are going to be VNFs, right? So we have a VNF here, or a PNF, and it ties to a VNF, and that address is probably already modeled in the SDC already, without needing to introduce anything new in ANEI. Okay, so in any case, that's what that use case is about, and I'll be giving a dedicated presentation on that probably later. Most likely February, I would say. So I've got some action items to take care of for that from today's presentation, and I'll present my findings again as I work through those items. Okay. Okay, so for network slicing, we had a presentation on network slicing on November 20th, and they were presenting basically a merged proposal between Huawei and, you know, other Amdocs and so forth, and CMCC. So there were two proposals coming from different companies that that they both had an idea of what should be done in R6 for network slicing. And if you listen to this recording on this meeting, there was a lot of questions raised, and so I said, you know, we should probably present, have another discussion, follow-on discussion. So there'll be another follow-on discussion for that at some point. I talked to Swami, and he said that February, early February would be a good time to have that discussion. Let me see. Oops. I think I have it also here. Okay. Oh yeah, the PN plug and play team. Okay. So these aren't in any particular order. But the all right, so at some point, I'm not sure when, the PNF plug and play has been working closely with the SO platform project to evolve workflows, those BPMN workflows, into building blocks. And they're starting with a couple of simple building blocks at first. And the plug and play page does describe some of this now, but I think it's, if you go to the plug and play page, which, sorry, I'm recovering from a cold, so I'm sniffling a little bit here. Plug and play. All right, so and this page, it describes, you know, some of these proposed building blocks we're looking at, to assign wafer ready, PNF ready building block, config assign PNF building block, and config deploy. So basically initially assigning a PNF, and when SO is waiting for the PNF to power on and attach, and then once it's attached and has reported itself through the PNF ready less event, that it proceeds on to configuring, to assigning a configuration, and then deploying. So there's already some work about that. There's a dedicated wiki page, a Jira, and so forth. The team said it would be good to have a presentation on that, and I think I agreed. I think that's a good idea. So at some point, we'll be doing that as well. Okay. Any questions on any of that? All right. And Jimmy, I wasn't able to attend today's meeting because I was giving a presentation on this with the modeling team, that they had only an open slot at this point. But at some point, probably in one of these ANA calls, we should probably talk about these points here. I don't know if you have a one-off call, if you want to have a one-off call or on the ANA call itself. It might be good to start thinking about these. We're not going to introduce any new schema change in R6, that's for sure. But so this would be an R7 topic.
Yeah, I think that's a good one for the weekly call. And if you let me know in advance, I can get the modeling experts on.
Yeah. Okay, great. And it'd be good to. I don't have a strong opinion, of whether these things should be in ANA or not. But as I look at parameters and as I look at ANA parameters, I just flag things that are IDs and names and addresses, because those are the things that tend to be in ANI. I'm pretty confident most of this other stuff isn't going to be necessary in ANI. I'll let you know whenever you think. I mean, you know, you're probably deep in R6 now, but I would expect starting to think about R7, which this is again an R7 topic, so it's probably something more relevant, maybe in March or April. Okay. All right. So let me go back up to, with all of that, let's go back up to where we are going into the new year. We haven't touched on a lot of these topics in a long time, and we have sort of lighter attendance today because of the new year, I think. So I'm just going to quickly run through these here. So the controller.nf association has evolved into the runtime config DB. Data persistency talks have evolved into this new use case. The controller.nf association is still something that needs to be done. It's basically, how does the controller know that for a particular PNF, what kind of controller it should have? That's sort of been tabled, but is something that needs to be addressed at some point. The controller LCM API evolution, Oscar is not on the call, but he's been championing that. Marge and Fred and Vimal are working on this standards harmonization. From what I know there, recently they've been looking at creating a new domain for the CM notify event and 3GPP fault event. And they've gone, there have been standards meetings, SA5 standards meetings that have happened. And there's some fallout there. So they're investigating with Alloc to see if a new domain can be incorporated there. So that's what I know about that. Licensing management, what's happening there is there has been recently this week and before the holidays, there was some discussion with the modeling team about the licensing management model because ONAP had inherited from eComp a licensing management model already, and the use case teams wanted to sort of start fresh, and so there was some debate as to how to proceed, basically. And so they've been looking at how to integrate those two things. So as I know, the modeling team has been working for about a year on the actual licensing management model to try to catch up with what's already there in the software, and also, of course, the licensing management use case team is proceeding as well. And so at some point they're going to sort of super collide those models together, I think, and to try to arrive at something they can both use. For the OFs on PCI, there was actually a demo given in December 5th, which was really neat. I attended that. So successfully demoed at the WinLab. I went there in person, actually, and was giving a talk actually on the plug and play as well. So I presented as part of that. So that was pretty neat. And they're continuing to evolve that into R6. I don't know so much about BBS, what's going on there, or some of these other use cases here. For pre-onboarding and boarding, one of the main work there that's happening is some evolution to VNF SDK security. So they're introducing some enhanced package security, basically, for that use case. Me, Zhu, and Michaela were heavily involved with that use case, defining it and stuff in R4. And there was not much happened in R5, but in R6, basically some leftover stuff for that they couldn't get into R4, they're looking to do in R6. Okay. let's see. So, modeling the 5G RAN all and harmonizing lots of different use cases. We've had meetings to try to incorporate and figure out what's going on with all these different standards. That's sort of evolved a little bit into this standards harmonization use case, but which is looking also at some different standards, are mostly wireless focused 3GPP standards. You'll notice here there's a number of, you know, ONF and Open ROADM and ISOMI are optical standards, which I think will be interesting to see. So you see just from one standard, this work is just from a single standard, 3GPP standard. So you can imagine trying to incorporate lots of different standards that ONAP will, you know, has to know about lots of different domains can be a daunting task. Okay, and I don't know, Marcy, do you know if there are any other like demos or things like the PlugFest coming up? Is there...
I know that we're going to have another like PlugFest at the end of June.
Oh, okay. I see. Is there a date for that, do you know? Or just it's sometime in June? Is that going
to
be...
Yeah, I have to find out, but so far I know it's, you know, they're talking end of June, but I don't know if there's a date.
Okay. And I assume you and Tracy will be involved with that?
Yes.
Okay. And probably Martin, but I would assume.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Okay, neat. And do you know if it's going to probably be similar to like this A101 ORAN as well and ONAP joint, something like we had or before?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yeah, it'll be similar to what we just did in this past one that we had.
Right. And this past one that we had, we didn't have this panel discussion. And we deferred the panel discussion because I'm not exactly sure why we just deferred it, but there was a problem sort of getting the MC maybe moderator or for logistical purposes. But I assume that we'll have a panel discussion at some point, maybe even before June.
I'll check with Tracy on that, on the panel discussion. I know it was pushed out.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see when the panel discussion will be for, you know, the last one we just did. And then, yeah, we should have a panel discussion for the one at end of June as well.
Right. So I know there was planned to be a panel discussion in this one. And at the last minute, it was kind of canceled. But days before the actual demo, I think Tracy had a moderator she was going to ask, she had in mind. And I think, it was fantastic. It was 100 people in attendance at the PlugFest. And I think everybody could have probably doubled the amount of, could have used twice the amount of time they had. Nobody had, like everything, it was great. It was fantastic. Don't get me wrong. But I think everybody used not only all the time they had, but all of the Q&A time of each session as well. So, and we used the full block of time that we had available to us. And maybe that's why we felt a little, there wasn't enough time to have this panel discussion. And it was at a different place too. So logistically, it was a little more difficult to do. But it would be neat to have, I think, a panel discussion either before the next one or certainly as a part of the next one.
Yes, I agree. And I think another issue was that we had lost a lot of people due to vacation time and things like that. So,
right.
So it was probably hard to coordinate it.
Sure. Especially in December at the end of the year and stuff. Right. Okay. Let's see. Okay, I've hit the end of all the things that I wanted to discuss today. Just again, kind of more or less just catching us up to into the new year. I specifically didn't plan a focus topic today, but it is our last meeting right before M2, so it's kind of our M2 discussion. I have had last at the, we were on the 5G use case call. Ooh. Actually, there's a later page in this, but there's a later page in this. But basically, we had been talking about M2, what's coming up in M2. So I don't know that I need to copy all this over into this other page. But in the 5G use case, we've discussed about in the various use cases what needs to happen, the API freeze and documentation, starting to think about documentation and having documented their functional test cases. So mostly just wanted to sort of set the stage for the new year of these are some of the things coming down the pipe. And I may ask for more, you know, it probably never hurts to have a focused discussion on any particular use case. We've had lots of different use case discussions, OFSON, PCI licensing management, the runtime config DB, the harmonization, MDONs, network slicing. So I'll probably ask for a few other ones as well, just to spread knowledge and bring people up to speed on things that are happening in ONAP. Okay. Any other comments or questions or thoughts? Otherwise, we'll close the meeting here. Okay. If not, thank you everybody for joining. And again, Happy New Year. And I hope you found this useful. All right. Have a good day.
Thank you, Ben.
Thanks. Bye.